Good morning.
And welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church on this first Sunday of Advent. As you've probably noticed, we've got the chrismon tree up, the Advent wreath is waiting to have the candles lit, and we've got our blue paraments. The blue of the paraments signifies the hope that we have in Christ, both in his coming as a newborn babe at the manger, and in his second coming, when he will come to reign in glory. Speaking of Advent, I don't know if you all were able to get the Advent devotions or any of the supplies you need for an Advent wreath, but all of that is at the bottom of the ramp on a table. So Advent devotionals for grown-ups, some Advent devotionals for children, the base for the Advent wreath, and some candles. It's all down there, so make sure you get those before you leave this afternoon. So last Sunday, I made the announcement that Gene Queen had gone into hospice care and that he was expecting that sometime in the next few weeks that he would die, and none of us expected that he would die just a couple of days later. Thankfully, last Sunday afternoon, I got to spend a couple of hours with him planning his service, hearing about his last wishes, and just getting the opportunity to tell him how much he means to me and that I love him. And Gene, who really wasn't a hugger, gave me a hug. And so this afternoon, his memorial service will be at 2:00 here in the sanctuary, and his family will be here for visitation just 30 minutes ahead of the service. So if you'd like to meet his children and grandchildren, please be here about 1:30 for that. I've also been walking alongside of another family this week as they have endured the really tragic death of their 22-year-old son. So it's Stephanie Hearn's uncle and aunt, and so it would be her cousin who's 22. He died this week, and I will be doing his service this Tuesday at Piedmont Funeral Home. Judy's going to help lead with the music. But it's just been a reminder for me this week that, yes, the world kind of keeps on moving along as if everything is okay and nothing is changing, but all around us, people are going through heartbreakingly painful things in their lives. And so as we enter into Advent and we hear the gospel's charge to stay awake, perhaps it can also be a reminder for us that none of us is promised another day. So maybe we can take the time to tell people how much they mean to us and that we love them and that we care about them and that we don't wait to say those things to others. We've got a few things going on here this week. Tomorrow evening is the men's group at 6:30. This Wednesday evening is our first Wednesday evening worship service at 6:30 with a meal starting at 5:30 before that. And then also this Friday, the silly group is going to Disney on Ice, which they are very, very excited about. We have several prayer shawls this morning. Three of them are for Gene Queen's children, his son Greg, his oldest daughter Rhonda, and then his youngest daughter Tracy. And then these two prayer shawls, Rebecca Fulbright has welcomed her first granddaughter this week, Naomi Rose, named after Rebecca's mother. So this is for Naomi. And then Naomi's mother, Rebecca's daughter-in-law, her mother, Denise Reiger, has been diagnosed with breast cancer. And so Rebecca has asked us to pray for Naomi's other grandmother as she goes through her treatment. So let us pray. God, we give you thanks that you accompany us all of our days, that you are with us in joyful moments of new birth, and that you walk alongside of us through the valley of the shadow of death, that you are with us not only in difficult and painful times, but that you never let go. We lift up Naomi and Denise, Greg, Rhonda, and Tracy. We ask that you would be with all of them as they go through their cancer treatment and as they endure the long and painful grief journey of losing their father. And we ask that you would be with Naomi as she grows. We ask that you would help her to grow like Jesus did, in wisdom and in stature and in favor with you and all people. We thank you for these brothers and sisters and ask that as they feel the weight of these prayer shawls upon them, that they would feel the weight of our love and care for them here at Holly Grove. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll pass these around and let you all pray over these as well. And finally, we have one birthday, Donnie Parsons, this week, and one anniversary, Brandon and Brandy Conrad. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. One God who alone does wonders, who lifts up the lowly, who fills the hungry with good things. Amen. Let us confess our sin, trusting in the tender mercy of our God. God, for whom we wait, in the presence of one another, we confess our sin before you. We fail in believing that your good news is for us. We falter in our call to tend your creation. We find our sense of self in material wealth. We fear those different from ourselves. We forget that we are your children and turn away from your love. Forgive us, Blessed One, and assure us again of your saving grace. Amen. God in Christ Jesus has looked with favor upon you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven. You are children of the Most High, inheritors of the eternal promise, and recipients of divine mercy. God strengthens you anew to follow the way of peace. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, save us from the threatening dangers of our sins, and enlighten us, enlighten our walk in the way of your salvation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Be seated. A little bit. I'm going to have Calvin come help me light the Advent candles if you would like. I've told this before, but every Sunday I have several children's sermons floating in my head because I never quite know which children are going to be here, and something that might be just right for Calvin wouldn't necessarily fit for Kate and Cameron, and vice versa. So our liturgy, our prayers for lighting the Advent wreath this year are going to be a little bit different. This summer, when the confirmation students and I were at camp, I taught a lesson on Advent. We went through the church year and learned about all of the different seasons. And we had four groups, and I assigned each group a week: hope, peace, joy, and love. And I asked them all to write down a hope or prayer that they had for the world with that theme in mind. So each week, as we come to the candle that has that theme, we're going to read aloud the hopes and prayers that the confirmation students had at camp this summer. So Calvin, would you go and get the light from one of the altar candles so we can light one of these blue candles? You put this to the fire. Mm-hmm. So this Sunday, we light the first candle on the Advent wreath, which symbolizes for us hope. And these are the prayers that the confirmation students had regarding hope. I hope that the Ukrainians and all refugees find health and stability. I hope that Papa found peace with the world in his last moments. I hope my sister does good with her surgery. I hope everyone with depression and anxiety have people who care about them. I pray for peace for people with disabilities. I hope each person knows Jesus better at the end of camp this week. I hope that there is peace in Ukraine. I hope that people who feel inadequate will be given strength and hope by the people around them to keep going. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Did it go out? Okay, will you? It's okay. Here, let me lift it up a little bit. There we go. You don't have to be sorry. It's okay. There we go. I didn't realize I was giving you such a hard job. Okay. Do you want to light this one for us? We light this candle, symbolizing the hope that we have in Christ. Thank you, Calvin.
The first reading is from Isaiah, second chapter. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Word of God, word of life. The psalm is Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now our feet are standing within the gates of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. For there are the thrones of judgment.
The thrones of the house of David.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
May they prosper who love you.
Peace be within their walls.
And quietness within your towers.
For the sake of my kindred and companions.
I pray for your prosperity.
Because of the house of the Lord our God.
I will seek.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, but about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And then they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Mother and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy New Year! Happy New Year! Although we are 5 weeks away from January 1st and we aren't singing Auld Lang Syne, it is the new year in the church calendar, and we are singing our most famous Advent anthem, O Come, Emmanuel. So instead of partying last night and making some resolutions this morning, we have lit the first candle on our Advent wreath. And we are entering into a season of faithful waiting and hopeful expectation. I love Advent, and although everything in our culture of instant gratification is telling us to skip Advent and instead go right to Christmas, I think we would do well to pause, to catch our breath just a little bit, and to lean into the gifts that God has for us in this season of waiting. Hope, peace, joy, and love. For the longest time, I used to think that Advent was one of those fancy church words just for the Christmas season. But what I have discovered over the years is that Advent isn't just a different word. It's an entirely different approach. Advent is a season that is meant to make our journey toward Christmas full of meaning. It's meant to put us in touch with our deepest longings and our greatest hopes, and to put those longings and hopes, all of our desires, together on one object, Christ. Isn't it fitting that this is doing, it only does this at funerals, and maybe since today there's a funeral, it's confused right now. So Advent is meant to put us in touch with our deepest longings and hopes, together on one object, Christ. Now, while Christmas is a season that actually begins on December 25th and lasts for 12 days until January 6th, the day of Epiphany, Advent is the season that builds up to Christmas. And when we faithfully journey through Advent, we begin to see Jesus more fully. We recognize that his birth, his becoming human, was the beginning of God's redemption of the whole world, and that his return will be the completion of that. And Advent pulls these two moments together. It overlays the joy of his arrival as a helpless baby with the hope of his coming again to reign over all the earth. In Advent, the church stands between these two truths, that God has come, and come, Lord Jesus. Advent comes from a Latin word that actually comes from a Greek word that means coming or arrival. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, emptied himself fully and completely and became human. He became one of us and lived among us. And in doing so, he inaugurated the kingdom of God, which is God's reign of peace and justice, mercy and love. In his life and death and resurrection, Jesus reveals to us and shows us what this reign of God looks like and how we can live it. And then after his resurrection, 40 days later, he rose after rising from the dead. Jesus ascended into heaven. And in his resurrected body, he has been seated at the right hand of God. And that is where he will come from again. And when he does come again, Jesus will bring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So the kingdom that Jesus inaugurated in his birth, in his first coming, he will completely and fully fulfill that kingdom in his second coming. This is a lot of wonderful teaching, but to use Martin Luther's most famous and frequent question, what does it mean? We can say that, yes, Christ has died and Christ is risen and Christ will come again. And we know that Advent is about Jesus' first coming and his second coming when he will come again. But what does that mean for us? Well, in the words that we read this morning from Isaiah, we get a little bit of a picture of what it means and what it will look like. In his words, we are reminded of the gift of hope that God gives us, of when his kingdom will fully and completely come, when Jesus comes again. And that is, it will be a world in which God will come and dwell with us forever. God's peace will be full and complete upon the earth. Isaiah describes it with familiar words, words that are found twice in the Old Testament. Swords will be beat into plowshares, and spears will be turned into pruning hooks. What this means is that there will be no more war. There will be no more violence. Weapons that are used to harm and to kill will forever be turned into instruments of nourishment. Isaiah describes this kingdom as a clear break from the way things are. And if we think about it, when Jesus inaugurated this kingdom, he gave us hints and clues that he was already beginning to reverse things for us. Right? The first shall be last. The least will become the greatest. Jesus has always been turning things upside down. He's always been telling us that the kingdom of God is different. Because in his reign, the poor are blessed, not the rich. In his kingdom, the meek are blessed, not the powerful. And those who make peace are the blessed ones in his kingdom, not those who do harm, and not those who use violence. This reign of peace was announced at his birth to the shepherds by the angels when they sang, "Peace on earth, goodwill to all people." And remember that Jesus calls us to be peacemakers. This vision of peace that Isaiah offers are the same visions of peace and the same calls to peace that Jesus offered in the gospel. And it's the same peace that will fully and completely come when Jesus comes again. All the earth, all of God's people will turn from violence to peace. And I think that's really good news. I think we're all longing for peace in a world filled with war and violence, where our young people go to school having to always have in the back of their minds that there could be a shooting at their school. The war continues to rage in Ukraine. And in the U.S., there is one mass shooting after another. This week, we didn't even have time to grieve and lament the tragic hate crime in Colorado Springs at Club Q before there was another shooting at a Walmart in Virginia. Our culture is filled with violence, of people doing harm to others, and of people killing others. And so I think this vision that Isaiah offers to us and to all the world is really good news. That someday, when Christ comes again, the world will completely turn from violence. Weapons for war and killing will be turned into garden tools. They will become tools that help bring life and give life instead of taking life. Sometimes we misunderstand the prophets in Scripture. We think that maybe they are fortune tellers and they are predicting the future. When in fact, the prophets in Scripture are truth tellers. They tell the truth about the way things are. And they remind us that if we stay on the same path, if we don't wake up and do different, if we don't wake up and live out God's will for a world with peace and mercy and justice, that the consequences will come for that. And so the prophet Isaiah reminds us that our present is one of violence. But because of what God has done in Christ Jesus, and because of what God will do in Christ Jesus, we can help change the future by waking up and living out God's peace in the world today. We don't just have to imagine a future without violence. We can live that today by being the peacemakers that God calls us to be. Part of what Advent does for us, for all the church and all of the world, is it invites us to reimagine the world, to reimagine what is, so that what will be will look a lot closer to God's reign of peace and justice, mercy and love coming to earth. I don't know about you, but I'm in need of some good news. And I think the good news of Advent is a thrill of hope. And may our weary world rejoice. Amen.
Together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty.
Right hand of the Father.
As we prepare for the fullness of Christ's presence, let us pray for a world that yearns for a new hope. God of all, your children everywhere cry out for mercy. Awaken the global church to the urgent needs of our time. Break down barriers of culture and custom and unite people of all faiths in your redemptive and healing work. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of wonder, the earth's beauty and abundance is your gift. Teach us your ways of sharing resources and caring for life. Guard fragile habitats, preserve the wild places, and protect endangered plants and animals. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of peace, you judge the nations. Beat our weapons into tools for serving the neighbor. Strengthen the resolve of all who work for an end to war. We pray for lasting peace in the land of Jesus' birth, in Ukraine, Syria, Myanmar, Ethiopia, Libya, Afghanistan, South Sudan, and Somalia. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
God of loving kindness, you desire fullness of life for everyone. Fill those who hunger. Comfort the grieving and attend to those near death. Bring help and hope to any who are sick or needing your care, especially Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Carrie, Bonnie, Boyd, Mike, Scott, Neil, Paul and Carolina, and the family of Jean Queen, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. God, in your mercy, God of community, you are present when we gather in your name. Guide congregations in transition or conflict. Give wisdom to congregational councils, call committees, and ministry leaders. Keep us alert to unexpected opportunities for mission. God, in your mercy, God of promise, your goodness is everlasting. We give thanks for the lives of the faithful who now rest in you, especially Jean Queen. We trust that you will bring us into the company of all the saints with rejoicing. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of our longing, you know our deepest needs. By your Spirit, gather our prayers and join them with the prayers of all your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Voice cries out, In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here, and drive away the shades of night, pierce the clouds, and bring us light.
God of our waiting and watching, we offer the gifts of our hearts and our lives to the service of all your people. Prepare the way before us as we meet you in this simple meal. Through Jesus Christ, our pathway and our peace. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave it for all to drink after giving thanks, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection, and we look with hope for his coming. Come, Lord Jesus. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. Come, Holy Spirit. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, Power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to Christ's banquet. Feast on God's grace. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Most High God, you have come among us at this table. By the Spirit's power, forms to be bearers of your word, sharing gifts of mercy and grace with all. Through Jesus Christ, our host and our guest. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
To say our mission statement, as united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Is near.
Thanks be to God.